All right, let's get ready for a deep dive today into the world of 3x3 basketball rules. We're going to be looking at the official 3x3 basketball rules official interpretations document. It's a pretty interesting set of rules. I think anyone who's a basketball fan is going to find something in here that really makes them think, huh, that's interesting.
Absolutely.
So let's jump right in. What's the mission for today's deep dive?
So the goal is to help the listeners understand the nuances of 3x3 basketball rules, highlight those differences from traditional basketball, and offer some aha moments along the way.
Right. So maybe you're a player or just a fan, but regardless, by the end of this deep dive, you should be much more informed about how this game works. So first things first, how do you actually win a 3x3 game?
So in 3x3 basketball, it's all about speed. The first team to reach 21 points wins, or if the score is tied at 20 after regulation, we go to overtime. And the first team to 2 points in overtime wins.
Okay, so no messing around. It's a very quick game, it sounds like. Now, you mentioned overtime. Is overtime played differently than regulation?
Overtime is sudden death. First team to 2 points.
Got it. Now, the rulebook isn't messing around when it comes to scoring, right? How are points scored in 3x3 basketball?
Points are awarded based on where the shot was initially released. It doesn't matter if a teammate tips the ball in. The points are determined by where the initial shot was taken.
So even if a teammate tips in a shot from inside the arc, but you released it from outside the arc, it's still 2 points.
That is correct.
Okay, wow, that's pretty interesting. That adds a level of strategy, I think, because now, every time you take a shot, you really got to think about where you're releasing it from and not just hoping for a tip in.
Right.
Now, speaking of strategy, what about coaching? In traditional basketball, you've got the coach calling plays from the sideline. Is it the same in 3x3?
One of the most unique aspects of 3x3 is that there's no on-court coaching allowed during the game. Coaches have to put their trust in the players to make decisions on the fly.
So really, it's all about the players on the court, making those split-second decisions, communicating with each other, and knowing the rules inside and out. Now, does that mean the coach is completely out of the picture?
Not necessarily. Coaches still play a very important role in preparing the team, you know, coming up with strategies and making substitutions.
So the coach is still important, but during the actual game itself, it's up to the players to execute and make those decisions.
Exactly.
So every game is exciting. You never know what's going to happen next. Now, one thing that we hear a lot about in 3x3 that seems pretty unique to this style of basketball is the check ball. So what is the check ball?
The check ball is how we get the game going after a dead ball situation.
Okay.
The offensive player checks the ball with a defensive player at the top of the arc.
So it's kind of like an inbounds play in traditional basketball?
That's right.
But it sounds a lot faster, a lot more dynamic.
Absolutely. It's all about speed, getting that ball back into play as quickly as possible.
And I bet there are some rules around delaying the game during the check ball.
Oh, yeah, for sure. If a player tries to delay the check ball by throwing the ball out of bounds, or by simply not being ready to check, then they will be penalized.
Okay, so I'm sensing a theme here.
Yeah.
3x3 basketball is all about keeping the game moving, keeping it fast-paced.
Got it.
No time for stalling or slowing things down. Now, what about team size? In traditional basketball, we're used to seeing 5 players on the court at a time. What about 3x3?
In 3x3, you only need 3 players to start.
Yeah.
But here's what gets interesting. Once the game begins, you can continue playing with just 2 players if someone gets injured and there's no substitute.
Really? So even if you're down a player, you can still keep playing?
That's right.
Okay, wow, that's pretty cool. I like that. It just goes to show how much this game emphasizes keeping the action going no matter what. All right, well, this is just the tip of the iceberg. We've only just scratched the surface of the unique rules that make 3x3 basketball so exciting. So if you're enjoying this deep dive so far, make sure to stick around for part 2, where we'll be diving into even more of the rules and uncovering some of the more nuanced situations that can come up during gameplay.
I'll see you there.
We'll see you there. All right, welcome back to the 3x3 deep dive. We're continuing our exploration of the rules that make this game so unique and so exciting to watch. Last time, we talked about how fast-paced and player-driven 3x3 is. But what about those moments when the game does need to pause? Like for substitutions?
Substitutions in 3x3 are designed to keep the energy up. So they can only happen during what we call a dead ball situation. So when the clock has stopped.
Okay, so that means no swapping players out while the action is live.
That's right. If you try to substitute while the ball is live, it will result in a penalty.
So even substitutions have to be quick and seamless.
Exactly.
Speaking of things that can stop the game, let's talk about fouls. Are fouls in 3x3 the same as in traditional basketball?
There are similarities, but 3x3 definitely has its own quirks. For example, there's a 3-second rule, like in traditional basketball, but it's even stricter in 3x3. You can't be in that restricted area under the basket for more than 3 seconds, even if you're not actively trying to score.
So no camping out under the basket, hoping for an easy pass?
Nope.
That makes sense. Keeps the offense moving.
Right.
Are there any other unique fouls we should know about?
Well, there's the 5-second rule. If you're closely guarded for 5 seconds while holding the ball outside the arc, it's a turnover.
Okay, interesting.
And then there's the back-to-the-basket rule.
Back to the basket. You mean you can't post up in 3x3?
You can, but you can't hold the ball with your back to the basket for too long inside the arc.
So no backing down your defender for an extended period of time?
Nope. The goal is to keep the game flowing.
It's like they took all the things that can slow down a basketball game and said, nope, not in 3x3.
Pretty much.
All right, so we've got those unique fouls. But fouls are just part of the game. What happens in 3x3 when both teams commit a foul at the same time?
Ah, you're talking about a double foul.
Yes.
So in 3x3, a double foul results in a check ball.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter how many team fouls each team has. It's a clean slate.
So it's like a reset button.
Exactly.
Okay, now what about those more serious fouls?
You mean the ones that go beyond a simple mistake or a little bit of contact?
Exactly. Like the technical fouls, unsportsmanlike fouls, and disqualifying fouls.
Those can definitely change the course of a game.
Okay, let's break those down a little bit. Yeah. What exactly is a technical foul in 3x3?
Technical fouls are usually called for unsportsmanlike behavior.
Mm.
Things like arguing with a ref or delaying the game. It can also be for more technical infractions, like a coach trying to give instructions during a timeout.
Hmm, interesting. So it's about keeping the game respectful, fair. And what happens if a player gets a technical foul?
The other team gets one free throw. And depending on the situation, they might also get possession of the ball.
So it's a pretty significant penalty.
It is.
Now, what about unsportsmanlike fouls?
Unsportsmanlike fouls are a step up in severity.
Okay.
So think about things like intentional tripping, excessive contact, or showing disrespect to an opponent or official.
Yeah, those definitely sound a bit more serious. What are the penalties for an unsportsmanlike foul?
Well, the penalties can vary depending on how many team fouls have already been committed, but an unsportsmanlike foul could result in 2 free throws and possession of the ball for the other team.
Yeah, that could really hurt a team, especially if they're already close to that 10 foul limit.
For sure.
And then, of course, there's the most serious foul.
The disqualifying foul.
This is the one you really want to avoid, right?
Absolutely. It's like getting a red card in soccer.
You're out of the game.
Exactly. A disqualifying foul is for actions deemed violent or severely unsportsmanlike, and the player is ejected from the game. Plus, their team is hit with 2 free throws and possession of the ball for the other team.
So it's a game changer.
It is.
You got to play with intensity in 3x3, but you also got to keep your cool.
Right.
Now, fouls aside, there's one more rule I'm really curious about. This whole clearing the ball thing, what is that all about?
Think of it like a reset button after a score. After a basket, the team that now has the ball must take it outside the arc before they can attempt another shot.
So no quick putbacks or easy baskets right after scoring?
Nope.
Why is that rule in place?
It's all about balance. It prevents one team from running up the score too quickly and gives the other team a chance to set up their defense.
Okay, so it helps keep things competitive.
Exactly.
Now, what happens if a team tries to shoot before clearing the ball?
That's a violation. The basket doesn't count and possession goes to the other team.
Hmm, interesting.
And if a player tries to interfere with their opponent clearing the ball, even without making contact, they could get hit with a technical foul.
So that rule is taken very seriously.
It is.
All right, so we've covered a lot of ground here with fouls and clearing the ball. But what about those close calls and controversial moments in a game? Do the referees ever use instant replay in 3x3?
We do, especially in those crucial last 2 minutes of the game. Or when a team is on the verge of winning with 19 points or more.
Okay, so when the stakes are high.
Right. For example, let's say there's a question about whether a shot was released before the shot clock expired, or if a team scored without properly clearing the ball.
Those are definitely game-changing situations.
They are, and in those cases, the refs can use instant replay to review the play.
That's good to know. It helps ensure fairness and accuracy.
Right.
Now, before we wrap up this deep dive on 3x3 rules, I'm curious about how teams are ranked in tournaments. Is it just based on wins and losses?
You would think so. But it's a bit more complicated than that.
Okay,
so head-to-head results are used to determine pool rankings.
Makes sense.
But when it comes to the final tournament standings, scoring average can actually be the tiebreaker.
Really?
So let's imagine two teams finish a tournament with the same record.
Okay.
But one team beat the other in their head-to-head matchup.
So you would think the team that won the head-to-head would be ranked higher?
You would, but if the team that lost the head-to-head has a higher overall scoring average, they could actually end up ranked higher in the tournament.
Wow, so it's not just about winning.
It's about playing aggressively and scoring points.
That is really interesting. It makes you think about strategy in a whole new way.
It does.
All right, welcome back to the final part of our 3x3 deep dive. We've made it to part three, and I'm excited to keep uncovering these unique rules. Last time we left off talking about clearing the ball, which, I gotta say, was a pretty big aha moment for me. It really highlights how different 3x3 is from traditional basketball.
Yeah, it's a game changer for sure.
But let's shift gears a bit and talk about team fouls. Now, we know that in 3x3, once a team commits their 10th foul, every foul after that results in two free throws in possession for the other team.
Right, it's a big penalty.
So knowing the difference between offensive and defensive fouls becomes super critical.
Absolutely.
Can you give us an example of a situation where that distinction really matters?
Okay, so imagine a player is going up for a jump shot, and the defender makes contact with their lower body before they land, taking away their landing space. That's an automatic two free throws, even if they miss the shot.
Wow, that's a tough one for the defense.
It is, and it highlights the importance of playing smart defense.
Right. You can't just be hacking away at the shooter.
Exactly.
But what if it's the offensive player initiating the contact?
You mean like if they extend their leg into the defender to try and draw a foul?
Yeah, exactly. Is that still a foul on the defense?
Nope, that's an offensive foul. No free throws there, and possession flips to the other team.
So you can't be trying to trick the refs into calling a foul.
Definitely not. It's all about playing fair.
Speaking of playing fair, what about flopping? Is that a thing in 3x3?
It is, and the rules are pretty clear about it. If a player tries to exaggerate contact to draw a foul, like let's say they extend their leg after releasing the shot to make it look like they got fouled, that's a technical foul for flopping.
Wow, so the refs aren't going to tolerate that kind of behavior.
Nope, you got to play honest.
Now, we've talked about individual fouls, but let's zoom out a little bit and talk about how technology is used to ensure fair play in 3x3. Do refs ever use instant replay?
They absolutely do. It's mainly used in the last 2 minutes of the game, or when a team has 19 or more points.
So when the game is on the line?
Exactly.
When would instant replay be used?
Well, let's say there's a question about whether a shot was released before the shot clock expired, or if a team scored without properly clearing the ball. Those are situations where instant replay can be used to review the play.
That makes sense. It adds a layer of fairness and accuracy to those critical moments.
For sure.
Now, before we wrap up our deep dive, I'm curious about how teams are ranked in 3x3 tournaments. Oh. Is it as simple as just looking at their wins and losses?
It would seem that way, but it's actually a bit more nuanced.
Okay, how so?
Head-to-head results are used to determine pool rankings.
Makes sense.
But when it comes to the final tournament standings, the scoring average can be the deciding factor.
Interesting. So even if a team loses a head-to-head matchup,
right,
they could still end up ranked higher in the tournament if they have a better scoring average.
Exactly.
Wow, that's fascinating. So it's not just about winning games?
It's about playing offensively and putting up points.
It really changes the way you think about strategy.
Absolutely.
Well, there you have it, folks. We've gone on a whirlwind tour of the 3x3 rulebook, and I think it's safe to say that this is a sport that rewards speed, skill, and nonstop action.
Definitely.
Big thanks to you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of 3x3 basketball.
It's been fun.
It really has, and I hope everyone listening has learned something new and maybe even feels inspired to get out there and try 3x3 themselves. Whether you're a seasoned baller or a complete newbie, this game has something for everyone. So until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep diving deep.